Counterspin for this week. Counterspin is produced by the national media watch group FAIR, based in New York. If you missed part of today's show or you'd like to hear previous shows, you can find them all on FAIR's website, fair.org. The show is engineered by Alex Noyes. I'm Janine Jackson. Thanks for listening to Counterspin.
It is 6 o'clock, and you are listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Red Umbrella film series hosted by the Clinton Street Theater. This month, the film My Own Private Idaho will be shown Sunday, August 30th at 7 p.m. Directed by Gus Van Sant, My Own Private Idaho adapts Shakespeare's Henry IV story to friends and hustlers living on the streets of Portland. Again, that's My Own Private Idaho at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from People's Food Co-op, a community-owned, values-driven cooperative striving to provide access to Whole Foods customers can trust. People's features farm-direct organic produce, bulk foods, a weekly year-round farmers market, and everyone is welcome. Located at Southeast 21st and Tibbetts Street between Division and Powell. More information at peoples.co-op. Up next, Bread and Roses.
At the dawn of the day, all the darkened kitchens, the mill of gray, all touched by the radiance that the sun discloses. Oh, hear the people singing, bread and roses.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Bread and Roses, Feminist News and Public Affairs. Bread and Roses is a collective of woman-identified radio activists. We give voice to those working for social justice and equity, globally and locally, and we strive to challenge systems of oppression. All this, and we have fun discussing topics that we are passionate about. If you would like to follow our story, you can like our page on Facebook by getting updates and viewing behind-the-scenes photos. We are also on the web at www.kboo.fm/breadandroses. If you are interested in joining the collective, everyone is welcome. To host, produce, or engineer with us, contact KBOO's volunteer manager at volunteer@kboo.org. Okay. Now that we got all the business taken care of, let's jump into tonight's show. My name is Jordan Michelle, and tonight on Bread and Roses, we are going to have a conversation on the impacts of technology, social media, and self-image on today's youth. Over the years, social media has become a major source of communication between youth. I can speak from my own personal habits that I feel connected to all of my friends and family due to Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and Snapchat. But in reality, are we more connected to those that we love, or are we disconnected because we no longer choose to practice personal interaction and hold meaningful conversations or even self-reflection with ourselves instead of broadcasting it to the world? Why are we allowing our addiction to social media increase the likelihood of mitigating human interaction? How is the media really affecting our self-esteem? And why do so many young adults battle finding their inner self? What's distracting us? How do we take control of ourselves and find our inner peace without allowing society and the media to conform us? We'll explore the importance of simplifying our lives, letting go of what causes stress, and finding our way to self development, success, and happiness. And before we dive into this discussion, I would like to introduce my guest, who is new to Portland, along with myself. Her name is C. I actually grew up with her in kindergarten. And since the topic is social media, we actually reconnected recently and found out that we both live in Portland. So she moved from Los Angeles and just decided to just make a change in her life and to just start from scratch. And she's here tonight to tell her story. So welcome, C.
Hi there. Hi, all. My name is C once again. And yes, I have moved to Portland. I've been here for about 5 months now, and it's been nothing but a great transformation for myself and growing closer to myself, especially with nature around. Mm-hmm. We don't see much of that in Los Angeles. So
right.
This is definitely a beautiful place.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Well, we're glad to have you. So this topic is pretty close to your heart. And you and I, like I said, we're both raised in Los Angeles, and we can both testify that the culture and the lifestyle is completely different than LA that it is in Portland. So what were your experiences growing up in Los Angeles, and how would you describe the culture in LA compared to Portland?
Okay, so Los Angeles, mm-hmm. Once again, just being nothing but positive here. It is...
You can give it real, girl.
Yeah.
Just tell them how it is.
Okay, so opportunities. A lot of people know that Los Angeles is the place where there's all the fame and mm-hmm. all these different paths for opportunities. But because everybody knows that, everybody goes to LA. So mm-hmm. that kind of minimizes the opportunity for the people who really want to attack it. And there's not that much available space to do so. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's pretty much my main experience for mm-hmm. moving to Portland, is the opportunity, the openness of like having whatever comes to mind as an idea mm-hmm. that you feel like can be a dream for yourself. Mm-hmm. There is so many opportunities that are more available for mm-hmm. you to do it.
Yeah.
So
that's interesting. When I first moved to Portland, I kind of saw it as, well, in LA, it's a big pond and you're a little fish.
Right.
You know, versus out here in Portland where it's a little pond and you're a big fish. There's lots more opportunity, like you were saying, versus in LA, it's very competitive, you
yes.
know, and it can make it hard for you to achieve your goals, even though that's the place where people say you should go if you want to do something and go big, you
yes.
know what I mean? So, you know, also being from LA, I would say that LA is very chaotic, so many people, which is cool. You know, it's a very diverse environment, and, you know, you kind of just blend in with everyone. But the lifestyle is definitely I would say it's kind of a little selfish. Like, everyone's out for themselves.
Right.
You know, I'm gonna leave you in the dust if you're not on the same path as
right.
me. I'm trying to do things, you know, and that's all great. But out here in Portland, you definitely have more room to excel in whatever field you want. And like you were saying, it's the culture out here is a lot more open-minded and free-spirited, and people are willing to hear your ideas. And
it's younger.
Right.
So
it is a younger crowd.
It's a younger crowd, so we're like all understanding each other.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much people are kind of on the same wave. Like, there's like this shift of consciousness of wanting more out of their lives. And like, if you have people within the 80s and the 90s mm-hmm. generation, which today between 17 and like mid 20s or
mm-hmm.
so,
mm-hmm.
they're all having this like same kind of transition and a mindset of like, I want more out of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been seeing that here. I've mm-hmm. even been kind of out on the streets, like just meeting people, because
mm-hmm.
I'm new here. So I'm just kind of wondering what people are doing here. What,
mm-hmm.
what are their plans? What are their dreams? And,
mm-hmm.
a lot of people are new moving to Portland, and the ones that are new are saying that they're coming here to go after their dreams, have new experiences, and Portland is kind of that mixture of like all these new sparks and stuff that are keeping people like in tune to trying new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. And that kind of transitions into what I want to go in next was I've encountered a lot of Portlanders who actually not despise, but they're just not happy with all the LA folks moving up to Portland.
Yes.
And, you know, Portland is becoming a lot more busier and, you know, it was built for a small community, but now, you know, there's tons of people and there's traffic now and they blame the LA folks for coming up here. So, you know, my experiences has always been kind of jokey, and in my past segments, I've always brought up that I'm from Los Angeles. And when I do interact with people who were born and raised in Portland, they're so quick to be like, oh, you're from LA. Oops, sorry.
Yeah.
Or, oh, we blame you for the traffic. Or we blame you for the smog. And, you know, and it's like, oh, okay. I didn't know that. My bad. You know, I'm up here to grow as a person. And and I admire you guys' beautiful city. And so it kind of has been in a derogatory way, but, you know, kind of joking. But what have your experiences been?
The same thing.
Really?
Some people are accepting. Some of them are like really excited for this transition.
Mm-hmm.
And like they respect that I respect it here. And actually, I want to make a difference here, like you were mentioning.
Right.
Here would be being a big fish in a little pond.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I have all these dreams, I have all these ideas. And one of them, the main one, is helping the homeless. And that's always been, I love people. I love investing my heart in that. And like, that's kind of like a big thing here.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I know it's going to take a lot to maybe create a building, another building, another rescue place, and all these regulations and all that. But all it takes is communication.
Mm-hmm.
It takes sponsors. It takes
networking.
It just takes you going after it, and it does not hurt to try.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes me happy.
Mm-hmm.
So
no, that's awesome. Portland is definitely they have a large homeless population, which that's something I noticed too when I moved up here. I definitely think that it's not a bad thing that Los Angeles people who move up here are hindering Portland. I feel like we have lots of things that we've established in our city that we can help implement into Portland.
Yes.
You know? So it can definitely be a positive factor.
Especially if you have the opportunity to step your foot into some corporation or some opportunity that comes your way and they want you because there's not that many people trying to get into that.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, you can use your voice. You can use what you feel like will help.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, it does not hurt to try.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Being that we're both from LA and the LA lifestyle and the pressures, a lot of people from LA kind of mimic what they see in Hollywood. You know, there's this idea that if you're from LA, you have nice things, nice clothes, you have a nice body, all these other things. And it kind of affects a person's self-esteem. So my next question is, being a part of the first generation that experienced technological advances in the internet and in cell phones, do you feel like having that media outlet where we're viewing these people every day, do you think that is affecting our self-esteem as youth, and it's affecting the way we connect with ourselves and identify ourselves?
I say yes. I see it as a good thing and sort of a bad thing too.
Okay.
A balance in between both, because social media can be a different form of expression.
Mm-hmm.
And some people don't, they can't conversate as well personal, one-on-one, and that could be a different way of communication.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on the flip side, if there was no social media, there was no internet, how are we connecting with people? And that is being out, talking to people, hearing their stories,
exactly.
like hearing what people are doing, mm-hmm. making a friend, mm-hmm. right. breaking barriers of egoic anything, like, mm-hmm. oh, I'm shy, oh, I don't know how to talk to people. You do. Mm-hmm. You can do it.
Mm-hmm.
So right. I kind of see it as like a good and a bad thing.
Yeah, that is. I think that social media is a good and a bad thing as well. Like you were saying, I think that is the best way to connect with people as far as networking, you know, building
yes.
your group of people, getting out there and yeah, just making a name for yourself. I think that's good. But at the same time, I feel like people are lacking
yes.
in that
yes.
conversation, like one-on-one, like you were saying. Like,
yes.
It's an automatic reaction to put your headphones on when you get on the bus.
Yes.
Or just be in public because it's like, don't talk to me, you know what I mean? Or even with friends and family or with someone that you like for partners, you know,
yes.
relationships. It's, you know, a text message conversation, or if there's a problem, you know, you have that argument via
yes.
text
yes.
message, and then it just, I didn't mean it to say that, but
yes.
you took it that way because
yes.
you didn't hear the tone of my voice when I said it, you know, so I think that it definitely can be a setback, and it has been a setback. And another example, I work in a school setting, and, you know, I see a lot of young youth who do text a lot or on social media a lot. They're using text slang in their mm-hmm. academic papers.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that's like, whoa, you know, we need to correct that because, you know, if you're always in your phone all day and you're using LOL and you're using OMG, you know, all those other things,
yep.
and it's just a natural thing to write it in your paper, you know, that's where I see it as a problem.
Yes. It's been programmed.
Right, right. But yeah. As far as self-esteem, I think that, you know, Instagram has definitely set this standard or this body image where young women feel like they have to have this hourglass shape. They gotta
mm-hmm.
look like Kylie Jenner. Mm-hmm. You know, they gotta, guys have to have this masculine chest and the man bun and, you know, like,
yeah.
Social media is setting all these standards, and it's affecting our self-esteem. It may
yes.
not be conscious.
It's in our face. It's
yeah.
continuously in our face. It's continuously advertised.
Right.
And it becomes like a norm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we have trends, and that's why it's out there. So
yeah.
people are constantly seeing it, but it's important to know what you want,
exactly.
know your style. I mean, it's also important to have fun as well because
mm-hmm.
you can always be a character. You can always say, yo, I want some purple hair today
mm-hmm.
and throw some purple hair in your hair
mm-hmm.
and then go and enjoy that. But it's still important to know what you want,
mm-hmm.
what you like, and not pay attention to too much of what's out there and claim that as your lifestyle.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. I think that in today's generation, people are a lot more open-minded to what style is. You know, we have figures in the world like Pharrell Williams, who's just like, be you, you know,
yep.
be weird, you know, and that's
yes.
something Portland
yes.
like lives on,
yes.
you know, keep Portland weird.
That.
Yeah, you
yeah.
know, and it's like everyone has their own identity, everyone has their own style, and that we don't need to look like the people we see on Instagram all the time. We don't need to look at these celebrities. We don't need to buy those expensive Jordans or Prada shoes or whatever it is
mm-hmm.
to feel good about yourself, you know? And that's one thing where I do see a lot of young folks using social media to counteract those
right.
problems,
right.
you know? Be yourself, you know? I know Tumblr is another outlet that's more creative and free-spirited youth use
mm-hmm.
and they don't think that I don't know, you have to fit this model type. So yeah, I think that's a great thing. So there's pros and cons to social media.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, I want to have a quick music break. But before I do, I want to talk about a little bit about the song. It's not necessarily a song, it's a poem, and it's called Auto Correcting no, can we autocorrect humanity? And it kind of relates to what we're talking about right now. So really take a listen to this poem.
Did you know the average person spends 4 years of his life looking down at his cell phone? Kind of ironic, ain't it? How these touch screens can make us lose touch. But it's no wonder in a world filled with IMAX, iPads, and iPhones, so many eyes, so many selfies, not enough us's and we's. See, technology has made us more selfish and separate than ever. Cause while it claims to connect us, connection has gotten no better. And let me express first, Mr. Zuckerberg, not to be rude, but you should reclassify Facebook to what it is, an anti-social network. Cause while we may have big friend lists, so many of us are friendless all alone. Cause friendships are more broken than the screens on our very phones. We sit at home on our computers measuring self-worth by numbers of followers and likes. Ignoring those who actually love us, it seems we'd rather write an angry post than talk to someone who might actually hug us. Am I bugging? You tell me, cause I asked a friend the other day, let's meet up face to face. They said, all right, what time you wanna Skype? I responded with OMG, SRS, and then a bunch of SMHs and realized, what about me? Do I not have the patience to have conversation without abbreviation? This is the generation of media overstimulation. Chats have been reduced to snaps. The news is 140 characters. Videos are 6 seconds at high speed. And you wonder why ADD is on the rise faster than 4G LTE. But get a load of this. Studies show the attention span of the average adult today is 1 second lower than that of a goldfish. So if you're one of the few people or aquatic animals that have yet to click off or close this video, congratulations. Let me finish by saying you do have a choice, yes. But this one, my friends, we cannot autocorrect. We must do it ourselves. Take control or be controlled. Make a decision, me? No longer do I want to spoil a precious moment by recording it with a phone. I'm just gonna keep them. I don't want to take a picture of all my meals anymore. I'm just gonna eat them. I don't want the new app, the new software, or the new update. And if I want to post an old photo, who says I have to wait until Thursday? I'm so tired of performing in the pageantry of vanity and conforming to this accepted form of digital insanity. Call me crazy, but I imagine a world where we smile when we have low batteries. Cause that'll mean we'll be one bar closer to humanity.
All right. That was a poem. I don't know the name of the artist, which is terrible on my part, but it was called Can We Autocorrect Humanity? And you can find that on YouTube. And that's something I share with youth that I work with all the time, because it is very important that we realize that social media can disconnect us from our interactions with loved ones. You know, when we go to dinner, usually you see everyone on their cell phones, you know, and it's not a conversation where, oh, how was your day, or what do you got going on, or you know what I mean? So that I definitely want to share that with you guys, and I hope you liked it. So we're going to transition into our next topic, which is related to what we've been talking about. By the way, you are listening to Bread and Roses on KVU. So my next question for you, C, is you had mentioned that growing up, you lived in a protected household, you know, and by the time it was time to move out, it was just like, oh, you know, what do I do? And I can also relate to that as well. So kind of explain or express your transition, moving out of your parents' house and now being on your own. What is that like for you?
Yes. Okay, so went to high school, graduated, mm-hmm. and then from there I went straight to a four-year university mm-hmm. in Cal State Stanislaus. Mm-hmm. I was there for 5 years, living in the dorms, and in a house. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty, it was tough. It was tough being away from the love. And so just that whole transition, just mentally, I had to stay focused mm-hmm. in school. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until I turned 23 where I just knew like I wanted more out of my life. And so I moved. I dropped out of school. I said I had to let go of everything and go. Mm-hmm. So I dropped out of school and I was home for a month. Mm-hmm. And my mom was just like, you know, I want you to stay. And, mm-hmm. you know, they haven't seen me for 5 years. So right. It was just that enjoyment of me being home. And then I just decided I got to go. Mm-hmm. I had an intuition that I just knew I had to go. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I ended up moving to Portland. So with this whole transition, it's been very interesting.
Right.
It's been
trial and error. Right?
Yes, definitely trial and error. I've had to learn how to make it, as they say, in the real world. Mm-hmm. Like when you're not in college anymore, getting the financial aid, and you have to mm-hmm. go get a job and like work for your money. It's very mm-hmm. it could be intense mm-hmm. at the mm-hmm. same time as learning who you are,
right?
So back to the question, mm-hmm. can you reiterate that, because sometimes I venture off because I get excited.
No, you pretty much answered it.
Okay.
As far as your transition,
yes.
out of the house and on your own,
yes.
you know, you had to experience some trial and errors, but in the end, like, it's all going to benefit towards your success.
Yes,
right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And like a brief experience of mm-hmm. my life right now.
Yeah.
I've lost everything in a, I guess, in a way for me to learn how to humble myself mm-hmm. and also understand what it takes.
Mm-hmm.
And all it takes is you to go after what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say when I lost everything, like, I've already used my savings, mm-hmm. one, to get here.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, I also paved the way for other people, too.
Mm-hmm.
So that was that financially.
Mm-hmm.
And then, just mentally, like, that it takes a toll when you don't see an income. So it's
right.
like I just use my savings to get here,
right?
And then I have to find a job and a social life as soon as I got here too. So
mm-hmm.
that once again was trial and error.
Right.
You have to be on time to work. You have
mm-hmm.
to really commit, even when it's a sacrifice. Just trial and error once again.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've had to learn a lot, and
yeah.
I've once again just lost everything in a good way of mm-hmm. understanding what it takes in life.
Mm-hmm. So let's kind of dissect what you're talking about right now. So
yeah.
I do want to explore more about the trial and error part now that you're out of the house.
Yes.
But I can definitely relate to you in being raised in a very like protected
yes.
household, you know, and that is definitely a loving and blessed experience that I had, and
yes.
I'm sure you had,
yeah.
where we didn't have to worry about a lot of things that most youth have to, you know, by working at 16 and having to
right.
provide a roof over your house at that kind of age, you know what I mean?
Right.
And for us, it was just like, oh, you go to high school, you have a good time, you do your sports, whatever, come home, there's food on the table, you have a house over your head, you don't have to worry about
nothing.
Kind of bills,
nothing.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's like, what do you think, or how would you create a balance in your household for your future when it comes to exposing, you know, youth and your kids or whatever to real world things and also protecting them at the same time?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because I didn't know anything about taxes.
Yes.
I didn't know anything about
yes.
insurance. Like, none of that stuff.
Yes.
You know, when I grew up in the house, and it was until I went to college and I'm seeing all my friends having to pay for all these things and just be completely independent.
Yes.
And me, I'm just like, I don't know what y'all are doing. That's too much. You know what I mean? So where is that balance, and when should youth start learning those kind of skills? What do you think?
Ooh, that's as they say, you're supposed to learn that in college. But
right.
college kind of like just nitpicks like
mm-hmm.
at certain areas of what the next step takes
mm-hmm.
after college.
Mm-hmm.
But it definitely starts with the parents. It starts with how what values they are instilling in us, level of maturity, how well they are communicating. I would definitely say high school would be like the real moment of really understanding everything and expressing what it takes. Because once you're a senior, you're either going to college and you're on your own. And really, parents want you out after that. So it start with the parents. I'm just going to put it there. And parents and being out, experience it on your own too, because your parents can't always tell you what to do. You got to go out and once again trial and error and gain your own experience.
So I know that this happens for everyone, where you leave high school and not everyone knows exactly what they want to do with their life. You don't know what you want to do with your life sometimes when you're in college, actually doing your major. When you graduate, you still don't know what you want to do. There are adults that still don't know what they want to do, you know. So it's now my question is going to be focused on how are you since you are starting from scratch now, decided to make a difference in your life, you want to find your happiness, you want to find your calling. What in you gave you the guts to just up and move, start from scratch? What advice do you have for someone just finding themselves?
Advice. Let go. I know most people will think, I can't let go. I got bills, I got kids, I got things that you have. Okay. Start simplifying it. The month before I decided to drop out of college, I start selling stuff. I start taking my clothes to Buffalo Exchange, you know, getting my money back in a different way that I could use to either save to go or just save. And I just said, you know what, I gotta go do this for myself. Before I went to college, I didn't know if I wanted to go to college. I was very smart. I had a 3.5 in high school. I was smart. I had to. I was an athlete, so I had to maintain grades. But I felt like I was going to be like a great worker. I felt like I was going to be a different like inspiration in life. But it kept getting preached to me that I had to go to college. You got to go to college. You got to go to college. And then I'm like, well, I don't really know what I want to do. Like, I've always loved art. I always loved to sing. You can't really go to college for that. You can. I don't want to say it like that. You can, but parents want to see business degree. They want to see, you know, the bigger picture. And so my parents were in the business field. So I'm like, I'm going to just go with business. I mean, it ended up being something that I wanted to do, but it wasn't my initial first thought of going to college. And so because of that, I just once again knew once I turned 23, if I knew I was going to die tomorrow, I'm just going to take it to the extreme. I felt like I didn't know much about myself. You go to college, and I'm also in track where I had to pretty much focus like all day from 6 a.m. workouts all the way down to 7 p.m. getting out of practice. And in between time, that's school and practice. Doing that for 5 years, I had to let go. I had to say no. If I want to continue this, I'll continue on in my next life. And so I packed my things. I knew I wanted to go north and go more towards nature, where I can gain connection with myself, because that's where it all started. Like, human beings are supposed to be in nature. Like, these buildings and stuff, like, they're here. They're a part of reality. They are what's here today. But once again, we're connected with Earth. So I had to go seek that. And now I have to also understand that you have to make a balance, because reality is still here. Simplifying life, understanding what it takes to be in reality. That's it. And Portland kind of balances that for me. I feel like I can go to the hot springs in Mount Hood and enjoy that and come with peace with myself and be happy that I'm there and come drive back down to Beaverton and be in reality and go to work the next day.
Right.
You got to balance it.
Right, right.
So I just let go.
That simplifying your life can be so scary for people.
Yes.
And it is kind of scary for me, especially if you're used to a certain lifestyle.
Yes.
And just completely just getting rid of everything, and not everything, you know. Like for me, I don't have a car right now.
Yeah.
So taking public transportation is a hassle. Yes, it is. But I'm getting to my point A to point B, you know, and I'm getting exercise doing it. So do I want to complain that I have to do that and not just get in my car and drive to my location? I could, but at the same time, I'm saving a lot more money. I don't have a car note. I don't have car insurance.
That
I don't have
true.
None of that.
That is true.
You know, you know, and just even with materialistic things is a way where you can save a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, cooking instead of eating out is
right.
a way you can save a lot of money, and living that simplistic lifestyle, doing things that you love. And you know, for you and I feel like we both have creative minds, and we do, we would prefer to be in some form of art as a career than being behind a cubicle or, you know, working a 9-to-5. And people like us are, you know, considered starving artists. So, you know, we're going to have to grind constantly and live that simplistic lifestyle, but we're going to be happy.
Right.
You
and
know?
That's all that matters is the happiness. And really, you don't need anything in life.
Mm.
I'm just gonna get it down to that, because you really don't.
Just
give the things that are, the things that are here are what politics, economic, the government, the blah blah blah. Like that's what created what we have to work for today.
Mm-hmm.
If this wasn't here, what we'd be doing? We'd be trading. We'd be loving each other.
Mm-hmm.
We'd be a community. It'd just be a whole different world.
No, for sure.
And all it takes is literally letting go little by little. I know the world is big, and a lot of things are out of our control now, but if you do it for yourself and also share it with others, they're going to share with other people, and those people are going to share with other people, and then there we go. We just started a whole new shift of a cycle.
Right. And I don't want to, for all my listeners, I don't want anyone to think that, you know, having nice things and living a nice lifestyle is bad.
Because it's still here.
All.
Right.
Yeah.
It's still here. It's about how you're using it. It's about how you're consuming
balance.
Balancing it, because it's still here. Like, I love to go to the Goodwill and get some nice boots and some little cute little dresses. Like, it's still important to love on yourself and fit. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's still important, but it's about simplifying the dollar amount. Like, you can, that's doable, because certain clothes aren't worth $300. I understand you have the designer, but the same time, like, think about that. What is your budget? What is, like, just pay attention to those things, and there you go. You have a simplified lifestyle.
And I think that's something that we can also appreciate about Portland and coming from Los Angeles, because, you know, growing up in LA, you have this mentality that, you know, all the people around you are always dressed to impress, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that, because I still do, you know, but I'm very frugal about it. You know, I can have the same pieces, but match them up with different things.
Right.
You know, it's all about getting creative.
Yes.
But, you know, out here in Portland, you know, you do have that nature. You do have that outlet, and, you know, our happiness comes from, like you said, just being around waterfalls, being in the hot springs, you know, things like that. And that has nothing to do with money. That's just peace.
Yeah.
And that's happiness, like you were saying. So, you know, I think that's a great, great thing. So my next question is, since we are both youth, you know, we're in our mid-20s, being young and figuring out what we want in life is definitely a challenge that a lot of us face. And I guess we have been kind of talking about this. So, I don't know, what kind of advice or what kind of input do you have for college students are coming straight out of high school, and, you know, we're just all trying to figure it out, you know?
I think it's important to get out. Like, just get out the house.
Yeah.
Just hop on the train and go downtown and walk around, maybe go in some stores and see what you like. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, the other day I went to a comic store, and I mean, I read comic books when I was younger, but that's kind of like a big thing here. And I'm mm-hmm. like, oh man, these are like the new comics nowadays. Mm-hmm. So I'm going there and I'm asking them, like, where do I start? I don't mm-hmm. even, and she's asking me, well, what do you like? And I'm like, oh, that's a good question. Like, I don't know what I like. I guess I like this. Mm-hmm. And then she's pointed books out to me that were fantastic. So really just getting out, trying new things. Mm-hmm. I had some peanut butter and jelly French fries at the stand. it sounded interesting and they were good. Mm-hmm. Now I could say I like that, you know, mm-hmm. just get out and try new stuff. And then you're going to start to know what you like, and all those ideas are going to pop up. Mm-hmm. Those are going to be those dreams that, like, oh man, like, I know I could do that. And then from there, just go after it. Mm-hmm. Just go after
yeah.
it.
I, you know, if I were to give people who are around my age who are listening any advice, I would definitely just say to link up with people who have similar interests as
yes.
you. And I know that's really cliche and we hear that a lot, but that is so important. It
yeah.
is. And it definitely combats what we were talking about earlier, that disconnect that we have human to human, mm-hmm. you know, meeting face to face. I think that's something that scares our generation now, is putting themselves out there and forcing themselves to mingle and talk to people and make those connections. You know, it's just so easy to just get on LinkedIn and
yes.
hit connect.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just read their information and email them. But no, it's best that you have that face-to-face interaction, that you're talking with people, they remember your face, so when they do see your name on that computer screen when you're applying for that job, they make that instant connection.
Yeah,
you know, and that's something I am starting to learn. And in Portland, I have made so many connections just because I see something online.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I'm like,
yeah,
they're having a luncheon or they're having a social at this time to this time.
And that's,
Jordan, just
yeah.
go and
yeah, try it out.
Yeah.
And that's another thing too, like
mm-hmm.
Portland has all these events that you could just go to, all
mm-hmm.
these different type
Always.
Of events. I can't think of the name of the website right now, but you can go on there and like link up with people who love to play soccer, and you
mm-hmm.
can go play dodgeball.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can do all these like cool things, mm-hmm. and it's ways of meeting people. And yeah, it is through the website or
mm-hmm.
internet where you're kind of finding out this information, but
right.
once you're there, now you just made all these connections with people who are wanting the same thing, and
right.
that's a beautiful thing.
Right. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
It's a great way to enhance your communication skills,
yes.
you know, for interviews,
yep.
you know, when you do look for careers and things like that, practicing conversing with other people,
breaking barriers,
you know, not hiding behind a screen,
mm-hmm.
text messaging or Facebooking, you know, you're not practicing your talking skills, you know what I mean? So definitely for those who listen, that's my little piece of advice for
yeah.
sure, if you did know that or did not know that already. So before we continue our conversation, did you want to introduce our next artist that we'll be playing?
Her name is Iman Europe.
Mm-hmm.
I usually listen to her on SoundCloud.
Mm-hmm.
She's pretty awesome. She sometimes, well, most of the time, speaks the real, and then it comes from the heart.
All right.
Which is always important.
All right. Well, this is Iman Europe.
Caterpillar with the pins tucked. I'ma get the figures, I ain't in a rush. All my niggas killers, they all down the bus, but we don't just.
Oh, I thought she was going here first.
Alrighty. So, we were transitioning into, our next topic, which is very similar to what we were talking about earlier, about simplifying our lives and finding the things that we love that make us happy,
And now Christina C, excuse me.
Yes, yeah, it's all good. That's that personal connection.
Right. Yeah. Right. Did you have any other insight on or advice or just sharing your experiences being out here in Portland at all?
I have. I can't hear myself. Sorry. Okay.
You are listening to Bread and Roses. I'm Kabu, and tonight we are talking about a disconnected generation. So most of our youth are very engaged with social media, such as Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, and we kind of just want to take a second to realize that we may not necessarily be connected to each other, more so disconnected, because we use social media as a shield, you know, to prevent us from interacting, making human interactions with each other. And I have a guest here, C, who is sharing her experiences moving from LA, which has a pretty hectic lifestyle, to Portland that's more subtle and a place where she can connect with her inner self and really truly find herself and identify with something. So we were just talking about simplifying our lives. So now I kind of want to go into how has social media benefited you? You know, how do you think that helps us? How has it made us grow as a generation? You know, because our parents and our grandparents didn't have social media growing up. You know what I mean? So yes, it can kind of be a setback to us, but how has it helped us?
I feel like it's helped us as far as the connections with meeting each other, meeting new people, meeting sometimes a lover.
Yeah.
So it's definitely like helped us in ways of communication. But just kind of back to what we were talking about earlier, it can also affect us in ways, but I feel like that's...
Keep going. Come on. Sorry, we're having some technical difficulties in the air tonight. It's all right. But, C and I are discussing how social media has benefited us. And how our parents didn't necessarily have the same benefits of the use of social media. So continue what you were saying, Steve. Sorry.
Good. So I was just pretty much just saying that that it's helped our generation, mm-hmm. as far as like communication and meeting new people and like mm-hmm. sometimes meeting lovers. Mm-hmm. Building relationships in a different form that our parents didn't use it as. Mm-hmm. But I feel like that's pretty much like my understanding and my experience mm-hmm. with it.
It is sometimes kind of funny to think that our parents didn't have cell phones like in their younger years.
Yeah.
It's a trip for us because we're like, okay, wait, how do they communicate with each other? And I know there were landlines, but yes. If we would be like, oh, let's meet at Chipotle.
Right.
And we ended up at Chipotle. And you know, we couldn't say, oh, I'm here, or are you still going to make it? You're just kind of stuck there expecting them to be there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I find that really interesting. And, but again, using that human interaction that we've been talking about throughout the show has been key to people's success in the past.
Yeah.
You know, without all the technology, without internet, you know, people would have to actually go and check out books, you know, from the library, which is a trip.
Yeah.
So, very, very interesting. All right. Yes, so we're gonna cut to a music break real quick for all our listeners. We'll be right back.
at the dawn of the day. All the darkened kitchens, the mill of gray, all touched by the radiance that the sun discloses. Oh, hear the people singing bread and roses. Oh, hear the people singing bread and roses. As we come marching, so many women dead, we cry through our city their ancient call for bread. Our stomachs are empty, but our hearts are hungry too. Oh, hear the people singing bread and roses. Oh, hear the people singing bread and roses. March to four men, for their women's children, and we're mothers again. No more shall we labor from birth till life closes. Oh. Nobles the race. No more shall we labor while the rich man reposes. Oh, hear the people singing.
You're listening to Bread and Roses on KBOO. My name is Jordan Michelle, and I have my guest here, C. And we are discussing a disconnected generation. We had a couple of technical difficulties, but hopefully they're all taken care of now. Sorry about that. We wanted to close out our segment talking about just how impactful this generation has on our future. You know, we really do have all the power, and it's really up to us to make a difference in the world. And I feel like a lot of the time we take that for granted, or we don't take that seriously, you know? We're seeing it in our technology. We're seeing it in the demand for excelling and achieving higher education and all these things. So, C, did you want to kind of give some input on just this transformation that we should have in ourselves to really find meaning in how big of an impact we can make in this world?
Well, it definitely started that we are all here for a reason.
For sure.
We are all here for our own calling to what is going to drive a positive change, what is going to help others. Just in general, what your calling is. And you know, within our time today, it's important to, as they say, go to college and so that you can get that next step to a different hierarchy of success. And knowledge is power. So it can be important to go do that. If I want to be a lawyer, if I have to, and I know I have to achieve a bachelor's and then the next whatever it takes to become a lawyer, and that's my calling, that is like a double whammy right there.
I think that what I kind of pulled from what you just said is that our generation is a lot more open-minded than past generations. You know, our past generations have been very conservative, very to the book, you know, and there are lots of things changing in our society right now. You know what I mean? Like making gay marriage legal everywhere in the U.S., you know? And this one's kind of funny, but making, you know, weed legal is just interesting in itself. And I think that we can be on the right path. We can make a huge dramatic difference in the world and we are just getting smarter as a people and we are making everything equal and well, that's the goal. You know, there's still lots of work to be done, but I think that we do have the power and using social media to our advantage to create those you know, relationships or to create those events where we can come together and fight for something that's right. You know, that's also a great way that we use Facebook and things like that. I think that we definitely are moving in the right direction. And we just got to believe it. You know, we got to, like I said, use Facebook and Twitter and things for good and not to be stagnant. You know, because I feel like a lot of people can testify that it kind of holds them back. It makes you lazy to be on your phone all day or to be on the computer all day. So, you know, use the tools that we have and do something with it. And yeah, we will have a very bright future, I think.
Using your using your voice, going after your dreams. It's just, it's really important.
And you know, I hear all the time, you know, when you go after your dreams, whether it has a lot of money or not, you're going to be happy. You're going to do what you love and the money will come. You know, I always hear that and I'm really trying to believe that. I'm trying to stay focused because I have passions that are all over the place, you know, and a lot of it is art related and a lot of it is competitive, you know, and if you really master your passion, like so many opportunities can come with that. And it's all about, you know, getting you to really just believe in themselves and to master whatever it is that they are passionate about and to be social, to be vocal, like we were saying, to network, to have those human interactions. I cannot stress that enough. Because that's what's going to make you memorable. And that's what the generations above us are used to. Is that human interaction. You know what I mean? For all the youth that are listening, I would definitely take what we say to heart because we are in your position right now. You know, whether you just graduated from high school, whether you graduated from college, it's so important to just really dive into whatever you want to do and take it head on. You know, don't take anything for granted. Use all of your resources, even in college, use your resources. Get involved with organizations, groups that are related to your interest, you know, and the opportunities will start rolling in for you. Do not make it harder than it already is. It can be so simple. It can be so easy.
I agree.
Cool. Well, we wanted to close out the evening. With one more song, if possible. But I hope you guys enjoyed this segment of KBOO. Again, we talked about Disconnected Generation. This is Bread and Roses. And tune in next Friday. We're on air every week from 6 to 7. All right, have a good evening. Thank you, C, again. And thank you, Chris.
This ain't gangster rap. This way deeper. I know some niggas who gon' feel it. I moved to New York City. I set the radio and I couldn't find no black music. I could not find the blues. I was wondering what the hell was going on. So I went out in the street and I run into one of the brothers on the avenue and I said, "Brother, look here, what's happening? Where can I find the blues?" He said, "Well, hell, you don't have to do nothing. Just stand here."
Ain't smart in 72 days, ain't slept in 72 hours.
It is straight up at the top of the hour. Welcome to the 7 o'clock hour. You're listening to 90.7 FM KBOO Portland. My name is Hemi Blue Rhino, and it's your Friday edition of your Hard Knock Radio. Coming up next, you just listened to a awesome show of Bread and Roses is here from 6 to 7 every Friday. So definitely take a listen because that's an awesome show. I tell you, I love that show all the time. So anyways, Bread and Roses every Friday from 6 to 7. And we have your Friday edition of Davey D and the Crew coming up right here at KBOO.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Festicide, a three-day anti-festival taking place in venues all over Portland on August 21st through 23rd. Festicide celebrates Portland's DIY culture.